Thank you so much. If you noticed, like I have, I know you have, that life is always in transition. There's always change. Always change. And we must learn to deal with the change. For example, Michael and Natalie are sitting down here, Michael and Natalie Strofe. They are leaving us in 2 weeks. They are going to Louisville, Kentucky to be an assistant pastor. That is the goal of our church, to thrust people out in full-time ministry. Well, let me tell you something, that's a transition. I'm going to get back to what they're supposed to do in this transition. I think of Jordan and Jessica Fanera, they leave next week. They're going to be an assistant pastor up in Washington State, and that is a transition. I think of a man that's sitting in this section for 40 years. He went to work about a mile and a half from here every day, never missed, day in, day out, long hours, many times 6 days a week, and the company closed down. And in a short time, he's already got another job. And after 40 years, the truck drove himself to work every day. There's transition going on. We just talked about a baby being born in our church, the Ledesmas. There's transition. That baby was silent in the womb, but guess what? That baby likes to stay awake at odd hours and wants to be changed and fed. There's transition. Some of you are going to this last week. Some of you just graduated your first child out of your home through Bible college, or your last child out of, there's transition. Some in our church this last year, we've had many retire. There's transition. Some of you in about a week and a half will have your kindergarten graduate, or you'll have your eighth grade graduate, or you'll have your 12th grade graduate. It'll be the firstborn out of your home. It might be the last. I think of the Johnsons, it's the firstborn. I think of the Elizondos, it's the last one. No more tuition payments 4 kids later. It's wonderful. I think of the empty nest, transition. What's it like? It's great. It's wonderful. It's okay. We thought it'd just be, oh, it's so terrible. We were lonely for those kids. Thank God we're by ourselves now. I don't even remember their names anymore. But, we miss them. Of course we do. And those 13 grandkids. But life goes on. You might be, and we have some in this room, some known, some not known, going through transition with radiation and chemo. Transition. Brother Marlon just graduated. He and his wife and girls, they're leaving later this fall, already been voted in to a church in the Philippines and voted to take the church over, and he's going to be a pastor in the Philippines. Transition. It's part of life. But in transition, in a text where we are today, there should always be, just seeing if you're listening, progress. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Joseph back here, transition's coming. August, you get married. You have no more rights. Yes, ma'am, I was wrong. I am sorry. You put those words in your vocabulary, you'll be a good husband, Joseph. I'm telling you, there's always transition. Life during transition must stay focused. It must understand there's a purpose. You have a purpose. During transition, we must realize that there's a mission. There must be a vision. And in this text that our Lord gives us today, we find in verse number 51, it came to pass when the time was come. Brother Michael, the time's come. Brother Jordan, the time's come. Brother Marlon, the time's come. Brother Bill, the time's come. There's always transition. Jaime Ledesma, the time's come. Jack Treba, the time's come. Retiree, the time has come. Not just to say I'm done with work. No, the time has come to fulfill your purpose, to fill your vision and find your vision and your mission. And so Jesus said the time was come. What time? that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus came into the world for one purpose. Talk to me for a moment. Jesus came into the world for one purpose. That purpose was to die. He came to die. He who was rich, yet for your sake, my sake, became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. The purpose of leaving heaven, to be wrapped in the womb of a virgin, to be born of a virgin, to live 33 sinless years, to die on the cross, to be placed in a grave, to resurrect 3 days later, was the purpose of Jesus Christ. That was his mission. And now he's been around Jerusalem, and he's been in other areas and going north and going south and that entire region. But not anymore. I've got to get to Jerusalem. After this text, after that verse, he never goes away from Jerusalem. Everything is going to Jerusalem. Why? That's where he's supposed to die. I have a mission. My mission is to redeem mankind from their sin. I must die on a cross for their sins. Those people are hopeless without me. And so Jesus came and he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Verse 51 and verse 62 go together, and everything else in between explains them. What's verse 62? Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And Jesus said unto him, I want to speak on the subject this morning, forward march. Let's keep going forward. The summer is upon us. Forward march. A new transition of work, of ministry, of life, of parenting, of job, of retirement is before us. Let's go forward. Let's make progress. Let's have vision. Let's have a mission. Let's have something we're to accomplish in life. Yeah, isn't it amazing? You get to Exodus 14, and those children of Israel finally left Egypt. And Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. And they get to chapter 14 and they're trapped, and God opened up that sea and they walked on dry ground. And the Bible says this when you get to the middle of that chapter, Exodus 14, 15, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? The people were already starting to complain. 14 verses into the victory, the people had a problem. And he said, will you cry unto me? God says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Life is about making progress. Go forward. Okay, this week you declare bankruptcy. Well, this next week now, let's figure out a way to not be bankrupt again. Amen. Let's make some progress. Numbers 10. Verse 5, God gives the story of the trumpets. And the trumpets were always to be used to announce someone's arrival or go to battle. And the Bible says this, when you blow the alarm, it's talking about a trumpet, the camps that are on the east shall go forward. It's always moving forward. Samuel, in 1 Samuel, is anointing Saul, the king, first king. And God says to Samuel, as he anoints him, as those people were there, Samuel says, thou art the anointed one, now go forward. I'm glad I pastor a church that the people have a desire to go forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You have to make progress. That progress is not from without, it's from within. That progress is up to you. Well, I'd do better if my mother and dad would give me some money. No, you do better if you make some progress on your own. Well, I'd do better if they gave me a better job. You create the better job. You do such a great job that in a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, somewhere along the line, they'll recognize how valuable you are, and consequently, you'll be going forward. You choose to go forward. It's an amazing thing. I've had the joy for over 4 decades to travel almost every week preaching somewhere, and always here on Sundays and Wednesdays. And an amazing thing, I go to so many places and I hear how they're the number one of this or this. And it's all negative. We're the number one unemployment capital. We are the number one marijuana capital. We are the number one this capital. We are the number one opium capital. We are the murder capital of the nation. We are the homeless capital of the nation. We are the this of the nation. Well, change it. Say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll change it. I'm going to move somewhere else. Well, there'll be a problem there for you too. Here in this text, God says he set his face toward Jerusalem. I'm going to make progress. I'm going forward to Jerusalem. And he says, no man having put his hand to a plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Verse 62. I can recall it as a boy. I admired a way a man cut his lawn. I think of this man, how he cut his lawn. He always had these straight lines. And when my dad gave me that opportunity to be the one that gets to cut the lawn, I tried so desperately to have straight lines. And here, I can remember it literally how I did it. I pulled that motor, got it started, and I went forward. And I kept looking like this. And I kept looking to make sure I was right on the line from the first pass. I kept looking. And I got to the end, and it was like this. Because you never look back. I was never a farmer. My father was. But I remember him saying, I literally can remember saying, Dad, my lines are all wiggly. And he said, son, in the farm, you get on a tractor and you put your eye on the end of the furrow, and you get a post or you get something down there and you look for it and you keep your eye on it. You see some stones down there. You see a tree down there. You see something and you put your eye and you never, ever take your eye off the furrow that you're going toward, the goal. Too many in this room, please hear me, and I get to this text. Too many, you're looking back, I failed. I walked out on my marriage. I was unfaithful. I declared bankruptcy. I had an abortion. I had this. I had that. I've been a drug addict. I'm a drunk. And it's in my family. They've all been drunks. I'm a drunk too. You're looking back. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says this, not as though I have already attained, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things before, I press toward the mark. He put his eye on a goal and never took his eye off the goal. Jesus put his eye on the goal at Jerusalem. He knew he was headed for pain. He knew he was headed for suffering. He knew he was headed for betrayal. But his mission in life was to die for the sins of mankind. So he illustrates here. Usher man number one in, and it's found in verse number 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I will follow wheresoever thou goest. Jesus said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not anywhere to lay his head. All you find about that man, he said, I'll go with you, but he never did. In life, there are people that get wound up after a message, or people get wound up after a motivational speaker at work, and they get wound up after a new product is introduced, and we get all fired up about this or that, but they never do anything about it. And Jesus is trying to give us an illustration. If we are going to go forward on the pathway of life and the vision, the mission, the task that we're supposed to accomplish in life, you just don't talk about it, you do it. I think in every church in America, every pastor could tell you of somebody they pastor that's always going to make the big money, but they never do. You never put your eye on the goal, what it's going to take. And I don't think big money ought to be our vision anyway. But nonetheless, if that is your vision, you don't get there without putting in long sacrificial hours, day after day, and no vacations and no rest stops. And all of a sudden, what was it, 8,000 experiments? Thomas Edison failed 8,000 times with the light bulb. One time he was renting a room and was doing his experiments on the second floor, and they said he threw out so many discards out the window, it mounted past the window. He failed, but he said, I'm going to get this thing. Recently, I was in Washington, D.C., and I stood right there at the Wright Brothers, the little at Kitty Hawk, that little plane, and how they ever had enough nerve and courage to get on that thing, I have no idea. But they got up for a few seconds. And today we fly on jets all around the world, because someone had the courage and the conviction and the mission and the vision, said, I'm going to press for the mark. I am going to get man off the ground into the air. Henry Ford was that way, because he believed that every person in America could own a vehicle, the Model T. Thank God that people have vision in life. This man said, I'm in, I'm going to do it. But he never did anything. You have to get off of our backside and do what God wants us to do. See, I want to have a walk with God. Well, then tomorrow morning, if you normally get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're going to have to set your clock to get up at 4:30 or 5. So I'm tired. Well, then you might have to go to bed earlier. But if you want to read your Bible and pray, it's going to take day after day after day after day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, say, I'm going to conquer this thing. Now, I'm not suggesting after 28 days that you'll be able to read your Bible every day, but they do say a habit can be formed in 28 days. There's some habit that you need to have formed right now. Your wife says, I'd like him to put the lid on the toothpaste. Well, if you're one of those that don't put the lid on 28 days, you say, well, that's only 28 times. No, you brush your teeth more than one time a day, I hope. How many are sitting next to someone who haven't brushed their teeth? Never mind, we won't go there. Man number one, a lot of talk, but no action. A lot of talk. I'd like to pass gospel tracts. And so we get a gospel tract and said, I want to pass a gospel tract and invite someone to church this week. Then you're going to have to take a tract with you today and say, I'm going to have this invitation. I'm going to find somebody. Some of you say, I need to get three of those. Some may say, I want one for every day. Some might say, I'm 10 a day. I want to get 10 of these things out, whatever it might be. There is a world that's soon going to plunge into hell, and they must be born again. I see what's happening in our world. I see what's happening in our churches. One of our great missionaries, Brother Ed Bordell, said to me, who's in Costa Rica, and he's back in the States this week. Brother Bordell said he's been there 30 years now. I remember the day he got saved in our church. I remember him pulling up on that big motorcycle 30-some years ago, that beautiful long ponytail. He has no hair now, so he's no longer a long ponytail. But nonetheless, there he was. He got saved. He's a businessman in glass business. But he said, our great country, and I'm preaching this country, they have a large, great church in Costa Rica. They don't have an army. They don't have a military in Costa Rica. If there's a problem, they call them the United States. But it's an incredible country. But several years ago, it fell into the socialist. And now it's a socialistic country. And what's happening as that country is falling apart is appalling. And the regulations that are given. Socialism said, well, I think, by the way, I don't know who, but you're going to find a candidate. We had one run this last time. You're going to find a candidate who will be a full force running as a socialist ticket this next time around in 2020. You watch. Socialism is really social order, social authority. It puts the authority in some individuals and they determine how much you make. Bernie Sanders said it 2 weeks ago. I want everybody in America to have a $15 a job, and everybody that wants a job, if you can't find one, the government will give you one. That's called socialism. Socialism is a twin sister to communism. Communism says you have no rights, you can't own anything. Socialism, the government will disperse everything. In communism, you have absolutely no rights. Go over to Moscow and see how much freedom of religion they have. We have a mission to reach this nation, because I tell you, our nation is going fast. Some politicians have suggested that we might just want to legalize opium. Up in San Francisco, they said, we'll exchange your needles. And the streets are littered with needles now. Open sewage in San Francisco. We live in a moment where the bill before us right now is that it is illegal. It will be illegal for a preacher to preach against sodomy or any national, what we call sins of America this day, and you'll silence the pulpits. It's not something that's coming, it's here. There's a lot of people say, man, we got to do something. They never do anything. We're claimed that of the 350 million people in the United States, 250 claim to be Christians. That includes Catholics and Mormons and Baptists and Presbyterians. It includes the whole crowd. But could you imagine if that is true? If we had 250 million people in church this morning? Church attendance, thank God not here, but church attendance is down in America, and the stadiums are up. And the beaches are up, and the marijuana is up, and the drunkenness is up, and the lewd living is up. We got to do something about this, but we never do anything. That's this man, second man. I've got 5 minutes left. He comes in, verse 59. Another said, follow me. He said to another, follow me. He said, Lord, he said, I'd really like to follow you, but suffer, allow me first to go bury my father. There's no indication his dad's even dead. It was just a Jewish custom that the child was there to bury the dead. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But go down and preach the gospel. You know what his problem was? Excuses. First guy, I'm in. Does nothing. This guy says, I'd like to come and follow you. I'd like to be a Christian. I'd like to live for God. I'd like to be a good husband. I'd like to pay my bills. I'd like to, but I can't, because you know what? I live in America, and it's bad. It's really bad. Jobs aren't around. 4% of the nation is unemployed. 4%. Show me another country in the world that has 4% unemployment. 96% work. And friend, you always see signs, help wanted. Well, I know it's not very much, $15 an hour. January 1st, that's what it is in Santa Clara. January 1st, $15 an hour. I'm telling you today, so many excuses. Well, I can't succeed because my dad left me when I was a kid. I have no idea what that's like. I was raised in the home with the perfect dad. My heart goes out to you. I can't imagine the anguish with no dad through either death or through abandonment. I can't imagine what you've had to go through. But I could take you to the preachers that were still preaching 20 years ago that built the largest churches in America. 10,000, 15,000, 20. And every single one either had a dad that died or a dad that left. J. Frank Norris, dad was a drunkard. Tom Malone, mother died. Lee Robertson, mother died. Jack Howes, dad was a drunk. You go on and on and on. I can't make excuses why I can't succeed. Well, this is the Silicon Valley. Can't build a church that's old-time religion, singing hymns and songs and holy, holy, holy. Can't do that here because this is the Silicon Valley. Yeah, but there's a whole crowd of people that still realize that everything they have tried is not the answer, but Jesus is the answer. Amen. Excuses. I can't have a good marriage. I can't have a good job. I'm not educated. Some of the great men that were uneducated were the men that changed America. The greatest president I think we've ever had was Abraham Lincoln. Never went to a formal school. In his little log cabin, he educated himself. His mother died, leaving him as a little boy at five. But he determined, I'm gonna study, I'm gonna learn. He got every book he could, and he became the president of the United States of America. There's a third man, and I close. The first was all hot air. Yeah, I'll do it, I'll come. I'm in, but he's never in. Next one had an excuse, I gotta go bury my dad. Man number three, verse 61. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to my home. I'm gonna follow you, but I got my own agenda for right now. I'm gonna do it. When I turn 40, I'm in. I'm 33 right now, but when I'm 40, I'm in. I tell you what, I'm 58, but when I retire, God can count on me. I'm in then. I tell you what, I love God. I'm single. I'm looking for a wife, and I'm not really complete and happy, and I'm not. But as soon as God gives me a wife, I'm in. I'm married. I live with this fella, and he's a nut. And as soon as he leaves, I'm in. I'll serve God. I'll start tithing. I'll start prayer. I'll sing in the choir. I'll do this. But I just don't want to do it now. I've got my own agenda. One had his own excuses, and one had his own agenda. And one just was all talk and no show. I'm in. But he never got in. You know how true this is in every area of life. All basically had excuses. I don't remember prior to my salvation any battle with my condition needing to get saved. But I do remember that night. It was a pivotal night for me 61 years ago. When I realized, I don't even know what the preacher preached that night. And I knew, no one had to convince me. I knew I was a sinner. I knew as a young boy I'd get mad. Oh, I'd get mad. And I'd get mad sometimes just inwardly. I'm not saying anything. Oh, I'd get mad as a little boy. And I remember not telling the truth to my mother. I remember my sisters drove me crazy. They still do. That's part of life if you have a sister, right? They don't drive me crazy. I don't know all what's going on, but that night I remember standing next to my dad. And not in the first stanza, but they sang a hymn of invitation. Our church was singing it that night. We were about 3/4 of the way back. I don't know, it's because my dad would know that he'd have to take out my sisters and discipline them during the preaching because they always acted up. I sat there with my Bible open. It was just an amazing thing. Boys are much better than girls. No, that should have been an amen. That should not have been a laugh, folks. My sisters were so much better. They were such good listeners. My dad had me on the aisle probably knowing I got to take Jack out. Brother Dennis works at the funeral home in Fremont. I went there for a funeral several years ago. And I said to the funeral director, I said, you know, I know this property. That sycamore tree, there had to be a building here. I remember my dad during church taking me outside to that sycamore tree. That was the tree. I know it was. And he spanked me right there for misbehaving in church. He pulled out a book and he says, was this the building? It was the old Washington High School, just a single room building. I said, that was the building. That was our church. He goes, yeah, that tree has been there forever. I said, I ought to mark Jack was here with his dad during church or something, you know. I remember sitting in that green chair, standing, the invitation, my dad here, my mother, my sisters. They were singing, not the first stanza, but about the second or third, I walked out. And just immediately felt like a load was going to be lifted. And Viva Morningstar showed me how to be saved. I got saved. I've made excuses for why I don't do this in my life since that time, or why I don't do this, or sometimes I'm in and then I'm not in. Or I'm busy right now, I've got these things to do, got to go back home. And we've all done it. But today I come to you asking and pleading. Let's leave here today and say forward march. Let's go forward. I told the high school seniors at their senior appreciation banquet a few weeks ago, the Allied forces, we were there, World War I, and we were firing upon the Turks. They were firing back. We were out at sea. They were on the land. And soon we saw that they were just destroying us. We had three ships already sunk. The general command said, retreat, and they pulled those boats back. The Turks were so amazed because they knew they only had 60 seconds left of ammunition, and we were to capture them. Had we stayed 60 more seconds, the war would have ended and literally millions of lives would have been saved. Had we stayed 60 more seconds. When you stop or look back, you've lost the battle. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Move forward. A fresh vision. A renewed mission. A new goal. Let's stand together, shall we, please? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father,